You are now checked in to Stand Up New York Labs. Oh, yeah.
Very serious.
This is the Mandatory Samson Podcast, coming to you live from New York City. It's Stand Up New York Labs. Hi, my name's Chris Flannery. I'm joined, as always, by my good friend Joseph Noe and my even gooder friend Andrew Genelosi. How's that make you feel, Joe?
Hey, buddy.
Jealous.
Yeah, it should.
Very jealous.
Listen, we have an excellent program lined up for you today. Of course, we're going to go deep into the Baltimore protests, riots, okay. The whole Freddie Gray thing. That is 100% happening. We covered this story last week before
yes,
it got
did.
A lot of huge attention. And Joey, you called me and you were like, we talked about this.
Yeah, we talked about this.
I know. We were all over it, and now everybody's all over it. But Mandatory Samson, first on the case. We're going to get into a few quick hits.
Okay.
Before we get into the whole Freddie Gray thing, because I have a lot about that, and I think it deserves our attention. So we'll get to that. But mm-hmm. I want to definitely touch on a couple of things before we get into that. I'd also like to close the episode with huge UFC news. The champion John Jones got into a little bit of trouble and some shit went down. I know Andy probably wants to get into that a little bit too. Some of the things we're going to get into, some of the quick hits are David Petraeus, the former he's a four-star general mm-hmm. and the former CIA director. He was in a little bit of trouble and he got sentenced this week.
Uh-oh.
And I want to touch on that because it's pretty ridiculous, kind of the sentence that he got as compared to other people that have done similar things.
Oh.
We're just going to talk very briefly about Nepal. I mean, there's not much
to
say about it. Yeah, it's a horrendous situation, but it's just rubble right now, so we can touch on that a little bit. And independent senator from Vermont, Bernie Sanders, has chosen to run for president. We could talk about that.
I'm so excited.
Who we actually serendipitously talked about last week, right?
We brought up Bernie Sanders.
With the Trans-Pacific Partnership thing, but we'll get into that. Before we get into any of that stuff, I want to read a couple of emails we got. We got a bunch of emails this week.
Emails.
I picked a few that we're going to talk about. Even before that, this is crazy, Joey. There's so much stuff at the top of the show. It's so confusing. Our friend Jolie, who is always commenting on the SoundCloud, she's a mm-hmm. listener, she's a fan of the show, and we always appreciate her support. She got in touch with me and she asked if I'd be willing to promote a project that she's working on, and I said sure, that'd
awesome.
Be great. I asked her for a little description. This is what she says the description is. It's like a crowdfunding thing, and I'll give you the website. But she says this is a campaign, is an attempt to privatize healthy food aid without relying on government programs like food stamps or other public assistance. Basically what she's doing is she's trying to create a pipeline between like farmers where she mm-hmm. lives, local farmers, to get locally grown good vegetables, healthy food to people in Baltimore.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, I think it's a fantastic idea. I really like it. And if you guys want to read more about it, learn more about it, donate money, whatever you want to do, you can go to crowdrise.com/scarletletterbaltimore, and you can find all the information right there. So, Jolie, good luck with the project. I think it's really cool, and I hope that helps.
Yeah.
Yeah, awesome. And thank you for stepping up and try to help the people in Baltimore.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and I mean, it's the type of thing where it's like, yeah, it's kind of born out of tumult, but it's something that can last a long time if
yes.
you actually got something like that to work. So, all right, so good for you, Jolie, and I hope it works out. Let me know what's going on with it. Here we go. Mm-hmm. I got some. Oh, by the way, I'm wearing my Rangers jersey. It's Matt Zuccarello. Matt Zuccarello is out for the entire second round, probably.
Wait, what? Yeah,
he got hit in the head with a puck. It fucking is terrible.
I know.
Oh, man.
Rangers open up tonight against the Capitals. I'm predicting Rangers in 5 or 6. Go fuck yourselves, Capitals. All right. All right, so I got a couple of emails. We got an email from our old friend Bryce, who we've mentioned on the podcast mm-hmm. before. He says, "Man, Samp and friends, it's obvious, but I'll say it anyway. You all are killing the podcast." Well, thank you,
nice.
Sir. "It gets better and better each week, guys. Keep it up." Yeah, we're gonna. "I wanted to toss a rap video your way because I believe I have found Joey's long-lost Canadian brother."
Oh, that is so awesome.
"The link is below for you guys to check out," which I downloaded the video, so we're going to play it in a minute. "In my not-so-humble opinion, I think the guy in the video sounds just like Joey. Maybe have Joey," and I love this idea, "maybe have Joey throw down a few sick rhymes on the next podcast so we can get more support from the nobodies."
Oh,
keep killing
yeah.
it, boys. "Best regards, Bryce." Thank you, sir. You guys want to hear this video?
Yes, I do.
I want to say this. I don't want to make fun of the guy in the video because he's, you know, whatever. He is what he is. But he does sound like you, and I think it's kind of worth playing. So do you want to hear it?
Yes, let's do this.
All right, so this is a video that Bryce sent us of a kid trying to rap who's not good at it that sounds like Joey. So let's hear what this sounds like.
Yo, what's up, people? I'm from Hamilton, Ontario, Canada. And, yeah, just gotta say.
Can you say, I'm from Hamilton, Ontario, Canada?
I'm from Hantman. Oh, say it again.
I'm from Hamilton, Ontario, Canada.
I'm from Hamilton, Ontario, Canada.
Yeah, Hamilton, Ontario, Canada.
I have some rapping song, like a song that I just wrote, like, off the top of my head. If you like it, press like. If you don't, I don't give a shit. It's just a song.
I like this kid's attitude, his better, devil may care attitude.
Yeah, here I go. I don't even know the title yet, but that's okay. I'm
Yo, don't worry about it. Untitled Freestyle.
The suspense is killing me.
Yeah.
Motherfucking please. You always start all this shit. Now I just want out of it.
Oh, I like how he rhymed shit and it there. All right, whatever. We don't have to get into the whole thing. Do you think that guy sounds like you, Joey?
A little, I guess.
I think you sound better, probably.
Again,
Yeah, I agree.
To me, it's kind of when you listen to a recording of your voice. You like the way I talk isn't the way I hear myself, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, like to me, I sound like Celine Dion in my head, but then when I listen to it, I sound like George Clooney, but it is what it is. Mm-hmm. I look like George Clooney all the time, but all right. All right, Bryce, thank you. We appreciate that. If you find any more videos of people that sound like Joey, feel free to send them. If anybody out in the world knows Joey's brother, Jimmy, if you could film him, he sounds just like Joey, but a little different.
So do you want me to start writing some lyrics for next week?
Yeah, I'd love for you to write a freestyle. Andy, that's probably a great idea, right? What would you like Joey to write a freestyle about, ideally, if you had to pick?
I don't know, because freestyles are always kind of just what's coming off the top of their head.
Right.
I would like it, ideally, to be about sex and women.
Okay,
great.
I'd like it to be sexual. Okay. Write this down. Oh, by the way, get titles. This is a big episode. You're going to want to have titles.
Doing that right now.
If you listen, everybody that's listening, we're going to get into some serious shit in a little bit. These next emails are pretty serious, so we're going to get into them, and then we have some real shit to talk about. But, Joey, as far as your freestyle is concerned, sexual, and I wanted to involve the Koch brothers.
Okay.
All right?
Yeah.
So whether you want to bang the Koch brothers or you don't want them to have sex anymore, whatever it is, you... Go whatever direction you want.
No,
I gotcha.
Leave
it to you. Okay. Perfect. Thank you, Bryce, for that. And I think it's a great idea. I'm very excited for Joey's rap. We got an email from Megan, our friend Megan from Canada, who's always sending great emails. It was her birthday yesterday. So happy birthday, Megan. She had a special request from us, Andy. She said, it's my birthday this Wednesday, April 29th. Obviously, it's a day late. But said, I appreciate some J. Cole to end the show. His new video for Wet Dreams is cute as fuck, and no puppies were harmed in the making. I don't understand the reference, but maybe you could tell me. I don't know.
Yeah, there's dogs in the video, and it appears they're all in good spirits. So
okay.
If that's what she wants us to end with, then I'm totally fine with that.
Okay.
And what was her name?
Megan.
Happy birthday, Megan.
Yeah, Megan from Canada.
Oh, who's always sending us stuff.
Of course.
Oh, yeah, of course. You got it, Megan. Whatever
right, that's
you
what
want.
I figured. No problem.
Yeah.
Megan's email is a good one. She goes, hey, Chris, always great to hear from you. Well, likewise.
Yeah.
I love that you're following the Trans-Pacific Partnership. It's mind-blowing in all the worst ways. Keep it up. Yeah, I agree, and we're definitely going to keep it up. Holy shit, I'm hot in here, dude. This is a hockey jersey.
I know.
Can't believe it.
You can take That's it off.
No, because we can't have the air conditioning on because interferes.
I mean the hockey jersey. You can
this,
take it off.
No. This son of a bitch is wearing a Tuesdays with Stories t-shirt. I designed it, but I don't have one. But Andy does, so it is.
Well, it's my show. I produce the show. And Ethica this week.
Oh, here we go.
Got the new pair of Ethicas, and I said I was going to do this. Evan, cut to my camera. So every week, I'm going to wear a new pair of Ethicas because I want a sponsorship.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah?
Oh, my God.
Look at
this.
This
is getting good right now.
Oh, he really dropped them this time.
Wow. Look at that. That's like a DMT trip.
Yeah.
That's nice stuff.
I
like the grain.
I'm not sure what to call these because I have Galaxy ones too. And these are kind of like my Picassos is what I call them.
I like them.
Picassos. Yeah, I'll wear a new pair every week. Ethica, I would really love a sponsorship. I know, you know, you guys sponsor extreme athletes, but I think it would be cool and funny if, you know, you could sign a podcast guest that nobody's ever
Extreme
heard of.
Podcaster.
You guys tweet at them, hashtag AndyEthica MSP sponsorship.
Yes, please.
That entire hashtag, that's what I want. Yeah. Megan says, I recently landed a job at a Canadian nonprofit that develops experimental civic education programs for elementary and high school students to get them informed and engaged in politics. That's terrific. It's pretty awesome, but I was disappointed to hear that you don't vote, Chris. Well, Megan, I do vote. Ideally, I'd like to see literally every citizen not vote, because that would send quite a strong message. Yeah. I don't think that's going to happen, but I definitely did vote. She says, we're still living in a democracy, and the best way to transform a democracy is to transform the electorate, whether that means the electorate is empowered to vote or empowered to revolt. Either change is welcome in my books. This applies especially to people in our age and tax bracket. Okay. There has been this sentiment on your podcast lately, Andrew, I'm speaking to you too, that the world has gone to hell in a handbasket and there's nothing we can do. But I think you guys can voice a mission rather than some belated and futile misgivings. None of you are apathetic, because apathy is inaction, and apathetic people don't waste time recording podcasts. Yeah, wow. I don't know. I'll say this. I don't think that we've said that there's nothing we can do about things. I think that's why we're doing the show, in part.
Yeah. Yes. And just to clear the air, I know I say that I feel we're fucked very often, but don't get the wrong idea. I do believe that, and I think I've said this, that if we all wake up, excuse me, and realize our responsibilities and what we need to do to make change, that change is possible.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
So I just want to put that out there. I'm not just constantly saying we're doomed and nothing good is ever going to happen again.
Right. No, well said. I mean, I think we've said certain things are probably, like, as far as government is concerned, it's hard to overturn those things. Mm-hmm. More impossible to overturn those things. Global warming might be like that, but it doesn't mean that you should just go around your life fucking doom and gloom all the time. The only thing you can really do is just be a force for good or positivity in your own self, in your own life, and that's it. That kind of like radiates out in concentric circles, you know?
You do good on what you can affect. The everyday things.
You can only really control yourself. So if you have the option to be a piece of shit or be nice or try to do something good for people,
don't be a piece of shit.
Yeah, do something good for people, and then that kind of ideally affects everyone, and that sort of radiates out. Government's a totally different thing, whatever. I get your point, Megan, but you know, yeah. We're not totally fucked, but I think people need to get on the same page. It's partly why we do the podcast. I think it's important. This is another thing, Andy, that I think was maybe more directed at you. She says, also, Britt McHenry is a raging bitch. For those of you that don't know, we talked about Britt McHenry at the tow yard video last week. But who gives a fuck if she was banging someone while her truck was being towed? That bit sounded a little slut-shamey.
It was it was kind of slut-shamey, and you brought it to my attention. And I just want to put this out there. I'm not a slut because I have a girlfriend, but I am an extremely sexually active person, and I don't ever want you guys to think that I'm putting down people having sex, random hookups, whatever. It was just meant to be a little quick joke. Yes, I enjoy sex quite often.
Right. Yeah, I mean, of course. And she goes, I'm sure you guys were just kidding, but most dudes aren't when they talk like that. Yeah, that's fine. I mean, you said whore or whatever. You don't.
Sure.
You're just saying that.
Yeah. I tried to do a lot. I know I'm not that funny. I try to be funny on the show. But yeah. And if there's one thing that does bother me and almost makes me feel lucky, and maybe you too, when you're out with Molly on the streets and you overhear these conversations of other couples, and you just get that feeling of like, God damn, we're lucky.
Oh,
like I've heard so many conversations of it's mostly dudes just saying shit that's just like, fucking really,
right? Like why
that's
are you
how
that?
You talk to your lady, like the woman who. Like, I, and again, you know, I don't want to go off on this whole thing, but a lot of us are very lucky to have the ladies we have in our lives. Like, let's be real. Like, you know what I mean? So,
yeah, like, it's a lot of bravado. You mean, like, people are just like, putting shit out. Yeah, of course.
And nothing bothers me more than the overconfident douchebag who doesn't appreciate his woman. And so I just want all that to be put out there because I love my girlfriend and all of that stuff, and I love women.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Andy. Andy coming out in favor of women. Megan, thank you for your email. We're going to play J. Cole at the end. Happy birthday again.
Absolutely.
Listen, this is taking a little longer than I thought to get through these emails. I apologize if people are well, what are you guys doing? We're going to get to it in a second. Just hold on. I got to read this guy. Okay. He goes, what's up, guys? Still digging the show. Just a couple of things I've been wanting to share with you. One, my phone has been acting really Jewy lately, which I don't think you should use Jewy in that way.
No, because if a phone was acting Jewy, I feel like it'd be on top of shit.
Right, getting shit done. Yeah, good point.
Good spin.
Lately, and I had trouble listening to the new episodes. Well, I'm sorry. What do you want me to do with that? So I went back and listened to the first couple of ones. Andrew, when are you going to shred your guitar for us, man?
Okay, I was talking to John, the owner, or one of our part owners now.
Yes.
I don't know if you guys follow me on Instagram. I bought a new guitar this weekend.
Oh, my God.
It is a BC. Have you seen the pictures?
No, I have not, but I can't wait.
Oh, my God. It's a BC Rich, straight metal guitar. It's supposed to be $800. Got it for $250 in this little mom and pop music vintage Nicely shop done. In Peekskill with my lady. And and I got a glass slide.
Yeah.
Like Dwayne Allman plays. So I'm gonna drive in probably next week and bring some gear, bring an extra amp, bring an extra guitar and leave it here. So
cool.
Very, very soon we will have live music on the show.
Very nice. Good. He has a suggestion for you. I'm not gonna say it. We'll talk about it off the air. He also hashtagged Androids Unite, which very cool.
did he mention a certain song or genre?
Yes.
What did he...
It's a Black Keys song.
Oh, okay. Cool. Love the Black Keys.
He also says, Joey cracks me up, but dude, you got to pull your nuts out and tell Chris to suck it next time he shits on you. It can go both ways, buddy.
I hear a lot about that, too.
I'm going to hold on to my nuts until the perfect moment.
Yeah, well, you're going to be the only one. Chris, I'm still a big fan. I agree on all but most of the points that you make, and it makes me want to spread the show to my buddies. Great. But sometimes the single child douchery comes Ooh. Through my headphones just as clear as your douchey voice. What?
Oh.
What are you talking about?
Dad, I told you not to email the show. Okay?
I don't know what that means. I think if you mean the show doesn't happen if Chris isn't here, then you're right.
Yeah.
But otherwise...
And what about that person that said they pictured you as an albino or something?
It might be the same kid. I don't know.
It could be.
Doesn't make sense.
I'm glad. Oh, one other thing is we took a couple group photos, group photos, which felt pretty cool.
Yeah, so, that's going to be on the website.
Yeah, we'll post those on the website, and you can see what we all look like.
Well, go to dailymotion.com/standupnewyorklabs, and you can check us out.
Sure, but I imagine there are probably some people who can't watch Daily Motion. And I remember growing up on radio, you have an idea of what a host looks like.
Oh, and they never look like what they sound like.
And you're just what is that? So you'll be able to see what we all look like very soon.
Absolutely.
I'm the tall, handsome one.
I'm the slightly shorter, more handsome guy.
This
guy continues. He goes, why can't people like golf, Dick? I made fun of golf last week. It's like,
love it.
Okay. Hate he it. Goes, some people like it. Some people don't. Some people think hockey's stupid. You're right. Those people are dumb, though. Yeah. Same shit. Other than that, big fan since Ep 1. I look forward to you guys every week.
Thank you.
Andy, what about those Einstein guitar tapes that you were talking about?
Oh, okay. Yeah, the Einstein demos that he made. I had them on, I think, two computers ago on my old Asus, and it's kind of in rough shape right now, but I have been trying to get those off of there because I can't find them anywhere else. They're awful, but they're worth listening to.
Okay.
So I will try and find them, I promise.
All right, there you go. There's a little update there. I will try not to have my voice anymore. I'll work on it.
Ridiculous.
No, go fuck yourself, buddy.
You have a great voice for it. Yeah.
Thank you. I appreciate that. This one's a little longer. This is from my buddy on Twitter. His Twitter handle's well, not exactly. I always talk to him. He's a Penguins fan, which points against him, but Rangers smoked his team pretty easily. He basically wrote a bunch of points about the the Baltimore stuff. Sure. We're gonna get into Baltimore. So we'll touch on that. It took a little longer to get through the emails than I thought it would, so I apologize, but, we're going to get into Baltimore. He was basically asking what we thought about that. He did say, how do you change a fundamentally ignorant hive mind, like all the comments that have been taking place on Twitter about this thing. Mm. And we're going to get into all that. It's a good question.
It's a great question.
He also says, keep up the good work. I still hope the Rangers don't make the cup. What the fuck? Why? What is the matter? Devoted fan. All right. Well, I appreciate that.
The question for you. If you're a Penguins fan and your team gets beat, who do you default to win the Stanley Cup?
No, you don't really care. You just got to pick a Western Conference team, first of all.
Okay.
And then you just see what happens. You root against the Rangers, obviously.
Is that what happens?
Root for a good series, basically.
Yeah, but ultimately you don't care.
No, okay.
I mean, it is what it is. All right. So very good. That took a little longer than I thought. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have to edit the emails a little better next time. I actually even did cut some stuff out.
Wow. Well, thank you guys for the emails.
Yeah, we appreciate them. Mm-hmm. You might even end up on the show. You see what happens?
Yes.
All right. This is the Nepal thing. I wrote a couple of things about it. There's not much. Like, what are we going to say?
No, it is what
10,000 people are probably going to be dead when all said and done. The place is completely destroyed. And
the one thing I heard was we were only going to send so much money, which I don't think is nearly enough.
Well, what was the number?
I don't actually remember what it was. But it seemed a little low for the amount of damage and casualties that were encountered.
All right, well, I don't know. I mean, you don't have the number. But the thing, I watched a Vice episode this weekend where they were talking about Haiti, which got destroyed four or five years ago. And it was saying, a lot of the money that is collected, they collected like $1 billion, basically. The money goes through the United States. Then they give it to, like, independent contractors who then even further contract shit out.
Yes.
And they're taking, like, 25, 50.
Yeah, so the money never gets where
like
it needs to go.
Less than a penny of each dollar that was spent in Haiti went to the people of Haiti.
Oh, God.
They built them shit they didn't need, like, soccer fields and things that, like, didn't help. They built an Olympic, like, park to go play in.
Yeah.
But meanwhile, people don't have running water or nothing. So it's just like...
No.
Be really careful where you're giving your money to, especially, like, right in the first couple of days. I know that's sort of like a contradictory thing, and people do need help there.
Sure.
But the money you're giving might
not be going
to them.
Yeah, I mean, maybe a hospital or something.
Right,
like
if
that
you can directly give money to somebody in Haiti, do that. Don't,
yeah.
You know.
I actually had an idea for T-shirts for Haiti Relief a long time ago when it first happened.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was going to make a T-shirt. That because you know how Haiti looks kind of like a heart a little bit.
Yeah. Okay. Yes.
I was just gonna make one that says "Love Haiti," and then and then all the money would have gone towards Haiti.
That's really sweet.
Nice.
Okay. Well,
but then apparently it would have gone towards casinos or whatever.
Just garbage and nothing. Right. All right. Anyway, so that's what's going on in Nepal. Obviously, Nepal will we'll keep updated on that. But there's not it's just a disaster right now. So we'll see what happens. This is a really interesting one. David Petraeus, the former CIA director and four-star general, he got in trouble, if you remember, for leaking. I wrote it down. He shared classified information with his biographer, Paula Broadwell.
His girlfriend, you mean?
His married mother of two, former mistress. Yes.
Oh, okay.
He was cheating on his wife with this woman that was writing his biography and let her know a bunch of secret things that he probably should not have let her know.
Doing pillow talk.
Pillow talk. I was just
or whatever.
But
yeah.
Who does that as pillow talk? Like,
right.
Hey, baby, that was great. Like, what are we going to do tomorrow for brunch?
Listen.
Not, hey, baby, I got a bunch of secrets about what's going on. In
oh, it goes beyond
listen,
that.
Listen,
what,
some women are really attracted to
power.
Troop. Movements.
Yes, and bowel movements too. Some weird German. A plea deal carried a possible 1 year prison sentence. That did not happen. He got sentenced to 2 years probation and a $100,000 fine. The court papers show
that's
the prosecutor. Yeah, hold on. Court papers show prosecutors recommended 2 years probation and a $40,000 fine, but the judge went with $100,000 to, quote, reflect the seriousness of the offense.
Oh.
Let me read what he did, and then we're going to compare it to something else. According to the original indictment, Petraeus leaked, quote, classified information regarding the identities of covert officers, war strategy, intelligence capabilities and mechanisms, diplomatic discussions, quotes and deliberative discussions from high-level National Security Council meetings. Leaks also included, quote, discussions with the President of the United States. So this guy put out a lot of shit, And he got 2 years probation and a $100,000 fine, which I guarantee he can pay.
Yeah, which is nothing.
Edward Snowden is sitting up in Russia,
yep,
fearing that he'll be thrown in jail for the rest of his life. And even worse
than
that.
Or killed.
Or killed or whatever.
Oh, definitely killed.
Chelsea Manning, formerly Bradley Manning, got 35 years for leaking classified information to WikiLeaks, if you remember.
Yeah, what happened with...
that he's Chelsea Manning now?
Yes.
We'll get into it.
Okay.
He leaked the collateral murder video, which, if you haven't seen it, go watch the collateral murder video. That's one of the most... That really fucking bothered me, and that really sparked my contempt for what the United States was doing abroad, and like that really focused my attention to it. That video really bothered me, and thank God that Chelsea Manning put that out there. It's important that we saw it. She's in jail for 35 years for leaking classified information, which is not nearly as bad as what Petraeus
2 years
did,
of probation.
And he gets 2 years probation, $100,000 fine. That's fucked up. And apparently, during the proceedings, there was a lot of letters sent on his behalf from high-ranking government officials and generals and whatever. Like, look, he's a good guy. Like, he made a mistake. Yeah, he made a mistake. He was just fucking around on his wife and told his mistress all this bullshit that she shouldn't have known. That's reasonable.
What? Yeah, fucking around on your wife is totally reasonable.
Well, see, my only...
No, I'm saying I'm being sarcastic, obviously.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with you.
Yeah.
See my question is, how does one decide which top secret information is more important than other top secret information?
You mean
how can you pick and choose?
What's gonna get her wetter?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
No, I know where Joey's going, but that's a good way to go. No, right. Like, no, it's all, right. If it's all crucial classified information, then he should be in jail for 35 years too.
Yes,
but
it should be the same
general
standard.
It's fine, right? Okay, fuck you, David Petraeus. You're a jerk off. What a stupid way to wrap that up. To the Chelsea Manning thing, he was Bradley Manning. He wanted to transition into a woman. He's transgender.
Oh, he is.
He is currently transitioning in prison.
In Leavenworth, right? And they're letting him do that?
Yep.
Oh, wow.
They had to fight for that, but yeah, he's receiving hormone therapy and whatever.
Oh, good for him.
She is now Chelsea Manning. So.
Oh, good. Like Dennis Rodman or whoever that was.
Yes, Dennis Rodman, now a woman. A North Korean woman. What, Joe? You had something to say about that?
Yeah. So is the process 100% complete, or is it...
Well, what do you want to know? You want to know if he still has a penis? You're sick, Joey. It's immaterial.
Okay. On to the next subject.
What I want to talk about next, before we get into the Baltimore stuff, because I have a lot on Baltimore.
Yes.
I have some video clips. We're going to get into like stuff that came out in the last 24 hours that I think
nice.
It's important to either debunk or just put out there. And then we're going to kind of, you know, just give our thoughts about it because it's a pretty big situation.
Well, I'd be honest with you. Even it, like, I believe all the information should always be out there, even if it does debunk or it doesn't debunk anything. Because
what do you mean? Oh, you mean if it kind of contradicts what the protests are about? Yeah, of course.
I like to see the whole story, not just snippets or whatever it is.
No, no doubt about it. And I told you, I did hours of work on this to put a complete picture together. So I want when people are listening to this, I want you to get a complete picture of the story. I'm not cherry picking information. If something that I believe is contradicted by actual information, I'll tell you that then.
Yes.
The other thing I want you to know is that believe me, you can trust what I'm putting out there. I'm not distorting the facts. This is legitimate. So if you need to get caught up on what's going on in Baltimore without any bullshit, we're going to do that for you.
Yeah.
So trust that. Okay. Before we get into the Baltimore stuff, Bernie Sanders is running for president of the United States of America. He's a 73-year-old senator from Vermont.
Nice.
An independent senator from Vermont. He will be running as a Democrat, however.
Okay.
Because I think it's easier in a lot of ways to get money, to get recognized, to be in the debates and things like that. Obviously, he's a senator, so he could probably be there.
Yeah.
But he's going to run on the Democratic ticket. Fine, I get that. We have a couple of quotes in the email, things that he's going to run on, which I think are important. Do I envision myself voting for Bernie Sanders? I don't know. We got to see how this goes more. I think it's cool that he's in the debate.
I think it's fantastic he's in the debate.
It'll be interesting. I will say this. It's going to be very difficult to get a self-described democratic socialist Jew elected president. Probably not going to happen. I have no problem with it, but I doubt that we're going to elect a socialist and a Jewish person to office. Okay.
Yeah.
These are some of the things that Bernie Sanders is talking about. People should not underestimate People should not underestimate me. I've run outside of the two-party system, defeating Democrats and Republicans, taking on big money candidates, and, you know, I think the message that has resonated in Vermont is a message that can resonate all over this country. What we have seen is that while the average person is working longer hours for lower wages,
damn right,
we have seen a huge increase in income and wealth inequality, which is now reaching obscene levels. This is a rigged economy, which works for the rich and the powerful and is not working for ordinary Americans. You know, this country just does not belong to a handful of billionaires. Great. I love that type of rhetoric. And hopefully, even if he doesn't gain the nomination, that's going to push Hillary to start using that type of language, which she has been doing. Mm-hmm. She's been doing a good job at that. Sanders said he would release, quote, very specific proposals to raise taxes on wealthy Americans and corporations, as well as offer tuition-free education at all public colleges and universities. Huh. He touched on his past opposition to free trade agreements. He'll focus heavily on his opposition to the TPP, which is terrific. His support for heavier regulation of Wall Street and the nation's banking industry, and his vote against the Keystone XL oil pipeline as a preview of his campaign. So a lot of the stuff that we've talked about in the show, Bernie Sanders is taking up that mantle.
That's awesome.
I've always been a fan of his, him, Sherrod Brown, Elizabeth mm-hmm. Warren. They're sort of in that camp together. And we'll see what happens. It's cool that he's going to be in the conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. It's cool. I just, the one thing I can't get down with the Democrats is the taking the money from the people who've worked for it.
Well, it's not taking, though. It's taxing, which is a part of the system. It's part of capitalism.
Sure, it is. But why do they have to keep taking more? What's the motivation for people on welfare or EBT to work, to even go try?
I hate that argument because
I know, but it's an argument that a lot of people bring up.
But it's wrong,
and
here's
I just want to talk about it. So
let's talk about it. Here's why it's wrong. People that are on welfare don't have great lives to begin with. They're not just like getting the welfare check and being like, "Oh, this is perfect. I live in hog heaven here. This is amazing."
And there is, and I know this is unpopular, there's a lot of drug addiction that goes with that.
Okay.
And alcohol addiction. So, again, not a great life.
Right.
Sure.
Okay. So, people, all right. So, that's number one. So, it's like, what's going to motivate them? Well, what will motivate them is opportunity, education, the ability to have a living wage. If you're somebody that comes from a really poor neighborhood or you come from a bad circumstance, a la a Freddie Gray or whatever, people that live in his neighborhood, the outlook for you is a lot bleaker than somebody who is a billionaire, right? Obviously, your life is completely different. So I think before you start saying, take away their welfare or what's motivating them?
No.
Motivation comes from having hope. And if you don't have any hope, you're not going to be motivated. So
no,
that's part of the.
I'm absolutely not saying take away the welfare. I'm not sure where we are with drug testing for welfare. I'm not sure if that's in every state now.
I think it's completely I don't see what difference does it make. The percentage of people. Because what difference does it make?
If they're using drugs and most of their money is going towards trading their EBT cards for heroin, crack, whatever their drug of choice is, and not feeding their children. And
yeah, that's a bad situation, but that's not the fault of getting help from the government.
No, it's not, but that is a reoccurring theme. Maybe drug testing could put a little bit of a change to that.
I don't think it would.
Why?
Because if you're addicted to heroin, let's say.
Sure.
You want to get that heroin.
Yes.
It doesn't make a goddamn difference whether you're not going to get your card or your whatever, your welfare check. Like, you're going to get the heroin somehow. That's an overblown thing that people are getting fucking welfare checks and they're buying all their drugs with it. They're not getting it. It's like, how much money is going to that?
Okay.
Really,
I believe that most of it is. And the other problem is that EBT money is not going to pay for somebody's habit for a month. So that can also lead to, you know, once you're out of your EBT money, there's an issue to feed your kids. There's an issue to feed your habit. And that can lead to crime, prostitution, stealing, whatever you have to do.
I mean, here's the thing. Look, you're right. So, it's not good when people are getting a hand and they're not using it appropriately.
I just want to, because I can speak from a place of experience on this topic. I've seen a lot, and again, I don't come from that background, but I was a part of that lifestyle. I've seen a lot of it, a lot of people who are in that situation using EBT cards to buy drugs and all this and that. And it's very sad, and it is extremely common. And I just think maybe drug testing would help, maybe.
Here's the thing.
But maybe, I guess my only opinion is, why not try it?
Well, I think it's been tried in certain places, honestly. I mean, here's my problem with the whole thing. It's always going after, because that's the argument, where it's like, well, why are we going after rich people?
We're going after the black. But there are more white people on welfare than blacks.
Absolutely. And here's what I want to say. There's no, like I mentioned, yeah, maybe we could try to, like, tone down the welfare state if there was other stuff in place. If the people that are getting drug tested then have an opportunity to get free rehab, free counseling, things that are going to actually help them.
Sure.
We don't have a system in place like that.
But
no,
a lot of...
And besides that, fucking corporations and rich people are on welfare too.
Yeah.
It's just a different type. It's corporate welfare, where they get massive offshore tax havens. They got tax breaks. Their businesses get taxed. They don't have to pay people. They don't have to provide them health insurance. They're getting breaks constantly.
Absolutely, they're getting breaks. But my biggest thing, and maybe I've brought this up, I'm sure I've talked to you about it before, is my family has a very, very nice life now. But we didn't start that way. We started in a very small apartment. We had to move a lot. My mom has worked, and my dad retired around 2000 to take care of the kids when we moved to Missouri. But my mom has worked for 30 years, starting at all the way at the bottom up to presidency level of a company. I just don't understand why she should be taxed more when she's been working her goddamn ass off, doing that commute, just doing everything she has to do. The amount of stress that is in this woman's life and all of this, she's worked so hard for it. I just don't like the idea of somebody coming in and being like, well, I'm sorry, we assume that people who have money are old generation money. They didn't work for it, and we're just going to take it.
Right. Well, number one, that's not the assumption that I'm making. Your mom wouldn't be I'm just saying, your mom, like, yes, you have a nice life. You're not the level that I think is being talked about here. Like, even as much, you know, as well as your family might be doing.
Yeah.
That's not the, like, a lot of I've had this conversation with people close to me where it's like, they go, well, we're going to get sad. No, you're not. You're not even close to the level that they're talking about. And you have a great amount of money and you have a great life. Like, we're talking people that make like $10+ million a year, which is a fraction of the people, you know, population in the United States.
Sure. That's true. And I don't want to get into my family's finances, but no, that's not the case we are being taxed more now.
Right, but that's not... I disagree with that then. At a certain point, I think it should be like $10 million or above. You get taxed at X amount. And
yes.
Everybody between like $200,000 and $10 million gets a smaller amount. You know what I mean?
Amount.
It's like...
Yes.
Of course, there's problems with the tax code, but I don't have a problem when you're taxed... First of all, taxing individuals, maybe I could even get behind. You don't tax an individual ever more than 49%. I think you should be able to keep the majority of the money you make. Fine.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Corporations need to be taxed at a much higher rate because they are making money off of everybody else, sweat equity and people buying their product. Fine. So if you're not satisfied with the $1 billion you're making, you need to make six. Go fuck yourself. That's how I feel about that.
Yeah, I would
People's
agree.
A different story. Corporations is a different story. And, I, you know, like... People make that argument a lot about, oh, well, people on welfare aren't paying their fair share because their lives are terrible.
Yeah.
Like, let's give them an opportunity to not have a shitty life. And then if they're still going to abuse the system, then fine. Then maybe we can have other checkpoints in place. But we don't have that set up yet.
But what's our plan to get them out of that shitty life? What's our plan? That's obviously
well, right. My plan is fucking education, free healthcare, and the ability to have food. Those are things like,
and a place
I think
to
everybody in the United States should have
what about
a base level of security. Period.
Trillions of dollars in debt we're in. Where is this money going to come from?
This debt argument. Well, first of all, we could cut the military budget by like 30%.
Sure.
That would make up quite a bit of money.
Ideal. Probably not going to happen.
Never going to happen. But you could cut that significantly. You could eliminate offshore tax havens for super corporations and use that money. You could force corporations to stop or to start actually providing people with health care, as opposed to saying, no, we're not going to do that, which then forces the United States to have to cover people through Medicare, Medicaid, and other programs. That's where money would come from.
Okay. I agree, and I like all those ideas. But again, I can't help but be realistic.
And I mean, you just asked a question. That's what I would do.
Yes,
it's not going to happen.
No, it's not.
And you're right. But I do want to bring to this point, because you brought up the debt. The debt is an imaginary number.
Sure.
It's never going to get called in. Every other country has debt. And there is such a thing as good debt. If you need a car and you take out a loan, you're in debt, but you need the car.
Sure.
Works the same way. We have to put stuff, like, people complain about entitlements, they complain about health care and things like that that get spent, and that runs up the debt in the United States.
Yes.
What is the point of being a citizen of a country if the country's not spending its money on its people?
That's very true.
That's legitimate debt. Wasting money, billions and trillions of dollars, on wars that don't make sense, that's bad debt. And that's the shit that...
It's just a hard conversation to have.
It's a hard conversation to have with people that don't want to listen. We're having it, and we're agreeing. It makes sense.
Yeah, exactly. You're right with the cars, though.
You know what I mean? Like, you're never going to have no debt. I mean, it's impossible.
So would it be good that the Lamborghini Aventador goes for $350,000? Should I buy one of those?
If you can, if you think you're going to be able to pay it off, bud. I mean, you got to show up in style.
I'm looking at $1,575 for an apartment.
Right.
But...
Yeah, get the car. Yeah. Well, see, but that is what the United States does, and that's why the debt is high. Where it's like we have 19 billion, planes we don't use, but we keep buying them.
I was setting you up for that.
Yeah,
you
can't have too, but that's planes. What it is. Like, we have 12 aircraft carriers. The next closest country, I think, has like 4, and we only use 2 of them.
Yes,
we're fighting
wars.
Wait,
so what? They just sit there.
We're fighting wars in the desert,
dude. We have so many frigates, so many battleships, so many just fleets that sit in San Diego. They sit in New York. They sit everywhere, and we don't use them.
That's bad debt that could be used.
The only ships we use are the fucking Coast Guard ships and the Whale War ships, and those aren't even.
We can use a lot of this wasted money to help fix the problems that we've created over decades. Mm-hmm. In shitty communities. That's a problem.
One serious question I have for you, though, and for you as well.
All right, and then we're going to get to the Baltimore stuff.
Yeah.
This is good, though.
Let's say, God willing, we do end up making a lot of money one day.
Like the podcast, you mean?
The podcast, us as in general, this company. Let's say it blows up. We do end up making a lot of money.
Right.
Your political views... and how you feel about taxing the rich and all that. I don't picture it changing, but I would be interested to see how you felt about that.
Yeah, well, that comes up a lot where people are like, I'll have that conversation with people. I think it's people misconstrue that I like just decided to have these political views.
Yes.
I think I figured out, just by the way that I feel about things naturally, that this is the, these views match how I feel. What I mean? I don't think they'll change. I can't say 100% if I had, millions and millions of dollars. But mm-hmm. I think if you get to that point and you're doing something you like to get that money, and that's another aspect of it. I think if you're happy with how you made the money and you feel good about your life, then if some of it gets taken away to be a part of a bigger thing and to help other people, it is what it is. Like that, it's sort of your responsibility. If you've used the infrastructure of a country and you've gotten help from people and blah 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 to get that money, then you do owe it to those people, like, because you're just part of that system. So what are you gonna do? Not be part of the system now because the system helped you get to where you are? Now you can just get out of it? I think that's bullshit.
No, I agree.
I think a lot of people, their goal is to make money. yeah. not be happy necessarily or to contribute or to be a part of a thing. So, yeah, they get pissed when that money gets taken away. And, yeah, ideally, no, you wouldn't have to give too much. And if you could, like, actually limit where the money was being spent in shitty ways, then, yeah, then you wouldn't be taxed as much. You know, I mean, there's a lot that goes into it. But
yeah,
as far as, like, yeah, if I was a millionaire, would I – yeah, I probably wouldn't love that they were taking money that much money away from me. But I understand that it's part of the system, you know? So, I don't know. Joey, how do you feel about it?
I'll be honest with you. I've always tried to live a simple life, so I don't feel that it would be too much of a burden if a little extra was taken from me to help provide for everybody else. I would also like to use my money to kind of spin it in a way, maybe open up my own foundation or try to be more active to help, you know, the everyday man. So if they have to take a little bit extra, sometimes you have to pay a little extra to help out, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, look, there's a price to living in this country.
Yeah.
You know,
absolutely.
Like, that is what it is. And like I said, I think as far as individuals concerned, you should, and we're talking upper echelon people.
Yeah.
You should be able to keep 51% of your money. I think that's reasonable. Although when the country was doing great and there was a thriving middle class, people getting taxed at like 70%. Countries that do very, very well, and yet they're smaller, like much more socialist countries, they're getting taxed like 80%.
Yeah.
But they get it back. They get it back for, they get like 12 weeks vacation time. You know what I mean? It's like it comes back to them in different ways. Healthcare is taken care of. You don't have to worry about it. Your education is taken care of. Do I think that could work in the United States? I do.
Okay.
Do I think it's ever going to get there? No. And I think then, yeah, we have to talk about limiting the amount of money that's in government that's wasted and blah, blah, blah. But it's a whole much more complicated thing, you know?
So, or what you could do is just build a supercomputer that can do all the numbers for you. No. And you just do it on a flow chart so everybody gets the same amount.
I think a flow chart is key.
I
think that's probably
absolutely
what the United States is missing. All right. All right. So we kind of wandered around for a while. Let's get into the Freddie Gray stuff because I think it's important. I wrote a couple of things down that I think we should talk about. What did I actually write to myself? I wrote, I want to give some updates on things that have popped up. Oh yeah. In the last day or so,
okay.
Just to like inform the conversation, let us like get into the flow of it. So that way we know what's going on. I also wanted to, before we get into, oh no, you know what? Let me read a couple of these things and then we'll get into something else. Baltimore police will hand the report off to the state attorney general on Friday, without releasing it to the public.
So that's tomorrow.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. If you're listening to this,
It is
Friday.
Oh, okay.
Let me see. Baltimore Police Captain Eric Kowalczyk, he says, there is not a report that is going to be issued. What we are going to do, which is unique, is turn over all of our findings, all of our investigative efforts to the state's attorney's office.
Mm-hmm.
Why, every time something like this happens, why do they have to go off book? They're doing something that is unique. Follow the fucking protocol. If you don't want people to get upset about the way that the system is working, then you don't want people to think that there's injustice. And
show us why the system's not working.
Do what you normally do. Don't change it when something like this happens. Oh, it's unique. Why? They did the same thing in Ferguson. All this weird shit that goes on. Why? Do it right.
Do it the way they told you to do it.
I agree.
Right. It just doesn't make any sense. Okay, so fine.
Well, probably there's too many eyes on it, and there's probably too many things that could go wrong if they do it the right way, I guess. So they won't do it the right way.
Who knows? But it creates an aura of suspicion that shouldn't be there. Mm. Just follow the fucking correct protocol, and then shit's above board. No, they're going to do something unique. Okay. Other things that came out, there was a couple of rumors and like lies that came out that I want to dispel. But I also want, before we even get into that, today, the police admitted that, you know what?
Uh-oh.
There was actually a fourth stop during this journey. They've mentioned that there's been three. Turns out there's a fourth one that nobody knew about. Okay, great.
Thanks, guys.
Here's why that's relevant. Because last night, the Washington Post put out a report that said, prisoner in the van with Freddie Gray said that Freddie was, quote, trying to injure himself.
Oh, that's interesting.
Okay.
Really?
Yes.
Now, this is what we're going to get into. This is the quote. A prisoner sharing a police transport van with Freddie Gray told investigators that he could hear Gray, quote, banging against the walls of the vehicle and believed that he, quote, was intentionally trying to injure himself, according to a police document obtained by the Washington Post. The prisoner, who is currently in jail, was separated from Gray by a metal partition and could not see him.
So Freddie was throwing himself against the truck then?
Let me ask
banging his head, maybe.
Let me ask you this question.
Uh-huh.
If you, and I have the video, again, we don't have to watch it, but it's him being dragged into the police van. He's not moving one of his legs. We know that his spinal cord was severed.
Yeah, how is he throwing himself?
If you're in the back of a van and you're not seatbelted in, which is what they... Oh, I also have... Yeah, I actually have that. Let me get into it.
Oh, you mean he was just probably getting thrown around because he couldn't control himself?
This is what I want to read to you. I had stuff bookmarked from last week before all the shit hit the fan.
Yeah.
Thursday, April 23rd. Freddie Gray had no seatbelt on in the police van where he was placed in handcuffs and later was put into leg irons, police said, as they confirmed the possible breach of protocol forms part of their investigation into his death.
No, of course. Good job.
Commissioner Anthony Batts said there was no circumstances under which a prisoner should not be wearing a seatbelt during transport. Quote, he wasn't wearing a seatbelt, and that's part of our investigation, he told the Associated Press. If you put somebody in a van who has a severed spine or has a fucked up leg without a seatbelt and he's handcuffed, what do you think is going to happen as the van is moving?
That's a good
you
point.
You think he might fucking fall off the seat and bang into the partition that's separating him from the prisoner who doesn't know shit, that can't see him? Do you think that's possible?
Yeah.
No, it's probably more likely that this 25-year-old kid is trying to sever his own spine. That's the fucking argument people are making. Mm. That's madness.
Yeah.
Friday, April 24th. This is shit that happened a week ago before they could get their story straight, right? This is what came out.
Well, it takes time to get everything together. Yeah, you got to forget about the one extra stop.
Right, it takes time to... Yeah, exactly, right. When you're trying to make shit up, before you know you have to make shit up before eyes are on it, this is the type of stuff you say. Police chiefs in Baltimore retreated on Friday from earlier claims that Freddie Gray must have been injured inside the van carrying him after his arrest. They said they were investigating what happened during one of the stops made by the vehicle. Asked whether Gray was fatally hurt by a so-called rough ride, quote, without a seatbelt in the back of the vehicle, or could have been injured outside the van, Police Commissioner Anthony Batts said at a press conference there were, quote, potentials for both of those. If someone harmed Freddie Gray, we will have to prosecute him. Deputy Commissioner Kevin Davis said officials were looking into the second of three stops the van's driver made after Gray was arrested on the morning of April 12th. Quote, the facts of that interaction are under investigation. Gray, 25, died after suffering a broken neck and injured voice box. Mayor Stephanie Rawlings Blake said earlier this week, quote, what happened inside the van, echoing a police report that said Gray, quote, suffered a medical emergency in the vehicle. Okay? So a week ago, they're saying he was hurt in the van. He's put in, and we know that he has a severed spine.
Yes.
He's being thrashed around. Obviously, he's not seatbelted, he's handcuffed. Mm-hmm. So put the fucking two and two together. And on top of that, there's a secret stop they made. Who the fuck knows what they saw at that point?
Taco Bell?
Or what happened at that point?
Right. That's more what I'm concerned with.
So, right. Okay.
Because I've told the story before of these kids. You always see the drunk kids mouthing off to the cops.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
And my advice to them is always... Hey, dude, they don't have to take you to the police station. They can take you out to the middle of nowhere and beat the shit out of you for a couple hours.
Which is what something happened here.
Dude, to a close friend of mine, I won't say what town or where. I mean, I can. It was in Missouri. It was over 5 years ago.
Right.
He was mouthing off one night. A lot of fields in Missouri.
Uh-oh.
He noticed Clayton is where the jail is. You make a left onto Highway 100.
He didn't go left.
He made a right out towards the middle of nowhere. Got the shit kicked out of him for 2 hours and was told he was in a car accident when he got to the place.
All right.
Right. So that's possible. And let me just say this this thing because there were some other rumors that came out that we're going to dispel because you've heard it from the right wing and on Twitter like that.
Well, here's my question about this. So we have all the cops saying that there was three stops. So I guess somebody from the Attorney General's office went and looked at the GPS of the car, the van they were in, and found out that there was a fourth stop.
Whatever it was, the cops just admitted a week later there was another stop.
Yeah, there was a week later.
Because
we forgot about
it. Now, yes. There's a fourth stop. So everybody that thinks there's three stops, keep in mind, no incorrect information. There are definitely four stops that were made. Mystery things happen. Possibility exists. They put him in fucked up. They went too fast. They threw him off the seat. The poor guy hit his head, fucking fractured his neck. And then they stopped again. They were like, oh, shit, what are we going to do?
I think it's more
or they beat him up, or who the fuck knows?
I think they beat him up, and then it was one of those moments of like, holy shit, I think we broke his neck.
Right.
And now, what are we doing?
Exactly.
We're in trouble now.
panic time. Yeah. Right.
And no seatbelt.
And people had already seen him. Like, people had already seen him, so it's not like, let's just go bury this guy in the marsh.
No, right.
Like,
they're
people
stuck
know
with him, right.
about what's going on.
Absolutely. Yeah. Here's another thing that came out, and I saw it on Twitter, and I saw it a couple of places. Freddie Gray, this is a rumor, Freddie Gray had a pre-existing injury from a car accident that made his spine easier to sever.
Yeah, I saw that on
They found some court documents. Here's what I have about the pre-existing condition, which is bullshit. Online reports are swirling that Freddie Gray had spinal surgery shortly before he died. Oh, no, wait. Oh, yeah. Shortly before he died in police custody, and I collected a payout and a settlement from a car accident. Those are reports which raise questions about the injury that led to his death on April 19th, point to Howard County court records as proof. But court records examined Wednesday by the Baltimore Sun show the case had nothing to do with a car accident or a spine injury. Instead, they were connected to a lawsuit alleging that Gray and his sister were injured by exposure to lead paint. So they have nothing to do with the car accident.
That makes no sense.
Well, they were saying... The rumor, the people were speculating that he had a car accident, and that's what the lawsuit was
about.
But
the lawsuit was actually about lead paint.
Correct. The other interesting thing about the lead paint case, if you're exposed to lead paint as a kid, it dramatically fucks with your emotional capabilities, your mental stability, things like that. So you're going to make bad decisions because you're exposed to lead paint. Mm-hmm. Okay. Immaterial, but he was not in a fucking car accident that hurt his neck. Not true.
Okay.
The other part of this, Freddie Gray had spinal surgery a week before he was arrested. The free, which, by the way, if you have spinal surgery, probably not out running a week.
No,
later.
I doubt okay? it. You're in the bed.
So let's just be logical about that. But I have a quote about this. The Free Republic website. The Free Republic is a conservative forum.
Okay.
It's like forums, and it started basically and got its popularity during the Clinton blowjob scandal.
Yeah, my dad started.
Your dad's the he created the Free Republic?
Yeah, he did.
Okay. Well, perfect. The Free Republic, well, they're going to be in trouble. The Free Republic website said Wednesday that Gray's, quote, life-ending injuries to his spine may have possibly been the result of a spinal and neck surgery that he allegedly received a week before he was arrested. The article also said that the injury was a result of a car accident and cited the Fourth Estate as the source of information. The story did not cite any court records, and since then, the Free Republic has removed the story from its website and cannot be reached for comment because it's not true.
They just
said a thing to try to discredit this guy, which, by the way, whatever. Go ahead, Jay.
What is the Fourth Estate? If Fourth Estate just means the news, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Journalism
in South.
But okay. In any event, okay, so those are things that you've heard. They're not true. Freddie Gray did not receive a settlement for a car accident. Not true. Didn't have spinal surgery a week ago. You can't prove that. It would seem pretty easy to prove that, but they can't. So that's just not true. All right? So those are things that are out there. And a week ago, they're talking about this kid. He's in the back of the van, not seatbelted, handcuffed. So obviously, if you have a pretty bad injury, you're going to be flopping around. Yeah. He wasn't trying to injure himself. That's absurd.
No,
that's absurd.
Crazy.
That is absurd.
And yeah, and let's just talk about how often, I don't know if you guys have ever been in an ambulance or a police van.
No.
Dude, they fucking lock you down in those
of
things.
Course.
Like, there should be no reason this guy's bouncing all over the walls.
No.
It's ridiculous.
No, it is ridiculous. One other quick point I want to make before we get into kind of more the meat of it. This guy, Ta-Nehisi Coates, who's a writer for The Atlantic. He's one of my favorite writers. He's just a beautiful writer, and he's great. I want to read a couple of the things that he's written about this to kind of like inform our conversation. Before we get into that, Republican Governor Larry Hogan, the guy that's in charge here, extended 24-hour detention without charge limit to, quote, protect public safety, while courts have been imposing sky-high bail, like $500,000 bail.
Yeah, they're not going to get out.
For minor offenses, although they did let out like 100 protesters today.
Oh, good.
But... Okay, so they just are arresting people without charge and then keeping them on, like,
excessive bail that you can't,
Okay, here's what I want to read. And you guys can go to The Atlantic or you just search for Ta-Nehisi Coates. It's Ta-Nehisi Coates, Coates. He wrote a piece called Nonviolence as Compliance, and I have an excerpt from it that I'd really like to read. He also, okay, well, let me read this thing and then we'll get into more of it. He goes, now tonight I turn on the news and I see politicians calling for young people in Baltimore to remain peaceful and nonviolent. These well-intended pleas strike me as the right answer to the wrong question. To understand the question, it's worth remembering what specifically happened to Freddie Gray. An officer made eye contact with Gray. Gray, for unknown reasons, ran. The officer and his colleagues then detained Gray. They found him in possession of a switchblade. They arrested him while he yelled in pain, mm-hmm. and then within an hour, his spine was mostly severed.
Yeah.
A week later, he was dead. What specifically was the crime here? What particular threat did Freddie Gray pose? Why is mere eye contact and then running worthy of detention at the hands of the state? Why is Freddie Gray dead?
The run.
But this is,
I know it's unpopular.
This is what I wanted to bring up because we talked about this last week, to call both of you. You know, I wanted to ask both of you about this because I said running isn't a crime and I stand by it. There's no reason the cop should have been.
You can't run from the cop.
No, running is not a crime. But to make, I just think about this.
And I know.
A white man,
right.
If I was out on the corner, I made eye contact with a police officer
and started to run.
You don't know how far away they were, whatever the situation was. If I made eye contact with him and started running, he's at least going to yell to me and start to give chase.
I guess that's bullshit.
If you make that eye contact and you, that is,
I guess it's just human nature, really.
I get it's not probable cause. It's not probable cause to run. That's
it's
fucking
not,
bullshit.
No, it is. I think.
No, it's
it
not.
It can be argued.
Of course, anything can be argued. Yeah, of course. Oh, a black guy's running. He must have done something. Let's go catch him.
Well,
that's
see, I don't appreciate you saying black guy there because, again, like we were saying, it could have been any of us, like me. And
but I don't think it could have been
here,
any
though,
of us.
Me and Joe here, though. Like, if I see a cop. We make eye contact. I run. He's like, oh, that kid probably has weed. I'm going to chase him. You know
so,
what I mean?
So,
like,
yeah, but okay. So I totally disagree. Even if that's something that might happen, I don't think that would happen if I did that. And besides that, even if it did, I guarantee I wouldn't end up dead because of it.
No, of course not. Of course not.
Because the reason that they're chasing the guy is simply because he's running, which again, in and of itself, is not a crime and is not probable cause.
But
and then they end up arresting him because of a thing they search him for. For no reason, just because he was running.
Why did he have a switchblade on him? That
because
that
he lives in a shitty neighborhood
question.
And he might want to stab somebody if they try to kill him.
Yeah,
what do you mean?
That's fine
that's
because
yeah, what are you talking about?
I have a knife in my backpack.
Yeah, why do women
carry
fucking mace around if they're walking their dog at 2 in the morning? Because in case somebody tries to rape them, that's why.
I forgot. I don't think like that.
Because in her eyes.
Because you're a masculine man.
I'm an adult. And adults rape each other. Kind of a lot.
What is that?
Wait, what?
Mulaney's joke about switching trains in Long Island City at 2 a.m.
Okay, well, in any event, fuck that noise that they've chased this guy for no reason. Okay, so let me finish up with this Ta-Nehisi Coates thing. He goes, the people now calling for nonviolence are not prepared to answer these questions. Many of them are charged with enforcing the very policies that led to Gray's death, and yet they can offer no rational justification for Gray's death, and so they appeal for calm. When nonviolence is preached as an attempt to evade the repercussions of political brutality, it betrays itself. When nonviolence begins halfway through the war with the aggressor calling time out, it exposes itself as a ruse. I love that.
Hmm.
When nonviolence is preached by the representatives of the state, while the state doles out heaps of violence to its citizens, it reveals itself to be a con. And none of this can mean that rioting or violence is, quote, correct or, quote, wise, any more than the forest fire can be, quote, correct or, quote, wise. Wisdom isn't the point tonight. And he's referring to the rioting. Disrespect is. In this case, disrespect for the hollow law and failed order that so regularly disrespects the community. Correct. I hear a lot of people being like, well, this isn't going to help. And I have some CNN clips that we're going to watch that are fucking infuriating.
Oh, really?
But, right. Do you really think that they're rioting because they think that that's how you make political change? No, they're rioting because that's what's happening. They're pissed.
Yeah, and
because
they're fucking
it's a fucking
pissed.
Reaction. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The same thing with the Ferguson thing. When they were burning down St. Louis County police cars, I was like, fuck yeah, dude.
Yeah,
do
go
it.
For it. Yeah. Right. I also want to make
thing. Don't loot the stores in your neighborhood, please. Go fucking loot a Walmart. Fine. Right. But don't, like, we were talking about the other day, the guy who Michael Brown stole the cigarillos from that Quick Trip.
Right.
They came back, looted his Quick Trip, and then burned it down. Wow. So he had, like, a double bad
that's,
day.
Yeah,
like,
that's a rough day for that guy. I also want to bring up this point because, and I really, you guys should go read Ta-Nehisi Coates' stuff, but he has another article where he points out that Malcolm X, like a lot of people go, and we're going to play a clip of Wolf Blitzer, that piece of shit.
No.
people want to point to King, but they ignore Malcolm X. Malcolm X was there. He was involved in the civil rights movement. And yeah, while it's true that riots don't necessarily cause, like, make law happen, they do spark change, and that's bullshit if you want to pretend they don't. They would use Malcolm X as a threat.
Yeah.
They would say, look, King is here. If you don't want to listen to him, that's fine. Malcolm X is right behind him. And that guy's not afraid to use violence. That's a legitimate thing that people can't disregard. That's part of the history.
Yes.
Peace and violence were used in different measures during the civil rights movement, and they're still being used. I also want to point to this. I watched this documentary called New York, a documentary film. I'm watching it. The New York City draft riots, which took place in 1863, involved a lot of Irish people.
Yes.
Okay? It was mostly Irish that started that. They didn't want to go fight for the Union.
Why would they?
They burned down New York. They killed a lot of people. They killed a lot of black people.
Yep.
Weird. Blacks were being targeted even then. I wonder why that shit is still continuing.
Crispus Attucks, bro.
Well, that was a different thing, too. But in any event,
weird that the
Irish immigrants that became cops killed black people in 1863 and also kind of like beat the shit out of them today.
Are you Irish?
It's weird. I'm half Irish, half Italian, yeah.
Oh, we're both that, yeah.
Yeah.
That's scary. Joey?
He's like Dutch
Irish,
and British
English,
and shit. Yeah.
Scottish.
All right, wait, but let me finish this point. The New York City draft riots, while those riots were brutal, they were like some of the biggest uprisings in the history of the United States. Did they actually make political change happen? No. Did everything change after them? Yeah.
Yeah.
So we can pretend that riots don't help to a certain extent. They do. We can pretend they don't. It's not ideal. We don't want people getting killed. We don't want riots happening. But when a riot does happen, people are going to pay attention.
I think also the other thing is that they try everyone to calm down because the next step after a riot, it just becomes even more violent because, you know, it might start with stones, but if it gets any heavier than that, you could have a real issue.
I don't understand your point. What do you mean?
I don't either.
Let's see. What would happen if the citizens started attacking the police?
Not good things.
Yes, right. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, no, I agree. Yeah, okay, right. Yeah, but I'm not advocating for riots, but riots are going to happen when shit like this goes down. And for people, like we're going to listen to some of the clips from CNN, people are going to pretend that they don't do anything. They do. And you can't pretend that they didn't happen during the civil rights movement and that violence was part of it that actually made change happen. Because sometimes people are not willing to listen to you. They're just not.
No.
But they will pay attention when you burn down the fucking CVS. You know?
Yeah, they absolutely will. Again, I know I said I was in favor of like burning down the St. Louis County police car and stuff. Not in favor of hurting police officers. I know they
I'm
do
not in favor
fucked
of
up things sometimes, but it goes back to my idea. If you, let's say you saw that police officer, Darren Will, or whoever, that committed some heinous act, and you did something violent to him, fine. But to, you know, just find a group of police officers and act violently towards them, I'm not into it.
Yeah, look, I mean, again, I don't think anybody wants anybody to get hurt, but that's...
It could just be very similar to, like, let's say Gavin is here talking about trannies, and we leave the studio today and I get maced by a tranny because of what Gavin said 3 days ago.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. Like there's a big difference though. Here's the thing. There's a big difference between, it's transsexual. It's transgender, transsexual.
Okay.
The difference between a person getting attacked for what they're saying and a police officer, you're part of an organized thing. So you're part of that group. So it's different when you take the brunt. If a cop gets killed in these riots, it's not good. Nobody's happy about that.
No.
But I get why they would be a target. You're part of it. So if you want to be part of a thing, try to stand up for the good side of it as opposed to being just faceless. And all right, Joe, we're probably going to be about like 10 more minutes. So just let them know. Thank you. I want to get to a couple of these clips from CNN, and then we'll wrap it up. I don't think we have time to get to the John Jones stuff. We'll get to it next week. But I wanted to, this is interesting stuff about the media, because now I think that's the next part of this whole thing.
Oh, yeah.
April 19th is when Freddie Gray dies. The riots don't escalate until like April 24th, April 25th.
Oh, so there's a few days in between.
Yeah, like a week. So I have some of the coverage of the news did on it, which is interesting. On CNN in that time period, from the 19th to the 24th, CNN mentioned Freddie Gray or something to do with the story 154 times.
All right.
Okay. MSNBC mentioned it 82 times, which seems low. And Fox mentioned it 20 times.
Wow.
Right? So not at all until the rioting starts. Then it's like 24-hour wall-to-wall coverage of the whole thing. Mm-hmm. In the week after that, nobody really, they didn't mention it at all, Fox News. This is even more interesting. Okay. The mentions of Freddie to CVS, the ratio, the amount of times that people mentioned Freddie Gray, the person that got killed and sparked all this, to the times that people mentioned the CVS, which burned down and whatever, which became like a symbol of this thing. On CNN, it was 96 times they mentioned Freddie Gray to 78 times they mentioned CVS.
Oh, Jesus.
MSNBC was 141 times they mentioned Freddie Gray to 64 times that they mentioned CVS. And Fox News was 84 to 65. Freddie Gray to CVS. So why did the story become about the fucking rioting and like, oh, my God, they burned down a CVS? Who gives a shit?
Well, that's the biggest thing. It's like they burned down a CVS, not a mom and pop shop.
No, that's not.
CVS will be fine in fucking 2 days.
My friend on Twitter brought up a great point. He goes, well, there people are always arguing that like, oh, my God, they're burning down their own store. It's a poor community. They don't own their own stores. What are you talking about?
No. What's your friend's Twitter name?
I don't know. He might have changed. I don't know if he wants it out there, honestly. I don't want to say it.
Okay. Tell me afterward.
Okay.
Because we talked about two assholes in the beginning of the show, and he's going to get a second one.
Really? I don't think we're probably not talking about the same. I don't know what you're talking about. We'll talk about it after. But in any event, that's a great point, right? It's like, okay. All right.
I'm going to rip him a new one.
All right. I don't think we're talking about the same guy, but let's see. But whatever. We'll get to it after. Don't be weird, dude. All right. So I want to just get to these clips from CNN, and then we got to wrap up because we're going to run out of time. We got another show coming in, and we're eating into their time a little bit, but I think it's okay. Yeah. So that's Solomon.
Oh, hey, Solomon.
We got a new guy hanging out at the studio. Yeah. Solomon.
Hey, Solomon.
He's just enjoying this program. How do you think it's going so far? Good? Well, everyone's well spoken. Oh, thanks, bud.
You can sit in the
Have a seat or if you're comfortable, whatever. We have clips from CNN that I wanted to play. The first one is between this councilman, Carl Stokes. Mm-hmm. He's talking to Erin Burnett, who I'm not a big fan of. She's on CNN. I just want to play, it's like a minute of this clip, and, you know, it's just so it's out there, you can see kind of the coverage. CNN's coverage has been absurd. So let me get to where it is. It's like a minute of the clip. This is Erin Burnett talking to Carl Stokes.
Stokes, I want to ask
Hold on, let me skip ahead. All right.
You know, it's interesting because the mayor of Baltimore, who's come under a lot of criticism, scathing criticism for her handling of this, referred to the people who were doing this last night as thugs. And she got a lot of criticism for that. There were people I saw on Twitter saying, why would you call them thugs? Then they're not going to listen to you. President Obama.
Yeah, I'm sure that was a real good summation of what people were saying on Twitter. You idiot.
Called the protesters, in his words today, quote unquote, criminals and thugs. He also carefully chose to use that word. Isn't it the right word?
No, of course it's not the right word to call our children thugs. These are children who have been set aside, marginalized, who have not been engaged by us. No, we don't have to call them thugs.
But how does that justify what they did? I mean, that's a sense of right from wrong. They know it's wrong to steal and burn down a CVS and an old person's home. I mean, come on.
That type of like tone where it's like, come on, like these guys know they shouldn't like do stuff. Did you understand what's going on there? Like, do you get that there's anger and there's resentment and that they probably don't give a flying fuck about your CBS?
Get that.
No, I'm white lady on CNN and I know what they know, don't steal. Erin, idiot.
They should know better than that.
Of course, some people didn't do it.
What's her name?
Erin Burnett.
Erin Burnett, whore.
Slut shamey, dude.
Don't care. Because I put it out there before, not a slut. But
all right, here we go.
I can be.
Come on, so calling them thugs, just call them niggers. Just call them niggers. No, we don't have to call them by names such as that. We don't have to do that. That is exactly what we've sent them to. No, when you say come on what? You wouldn't call your child a thug if they should do something that would not be what you would expect them to do.
Look, I respect your point of view. I would hope that I would call my son a thug if he ever did such a thing. But Congressman, let me ask you to respond to Councilman Stokes.
All right. Well, anyways, that's what I wanted to show. First of all, good for him. I don't like this has been thrown around a lot where thug is like the replacement for the N-word.
Oh.
Right. That's like that's a thing that's kind of.
Did not know that.
Well, it happened with Richard Sherman where they were calling him a thug.
Oh.
And he's like. That's just a replacement for the N-word. And I kind of agree, right?
It is.
You're calling these kids
thugs? It absolutely is.
Nobody say, obviously, they shouldn't be doing this. Like, yeah, in an ideal, rational situation, yeah, you don't rob or loot or burn down your city.
No.
This isn't a rational situation, though. No. And for her to be like, well, annoying. This is even better. This is a clip. This is a short clip of Ashley Banfield, who's another one on CNN,
mm-hmm.
who is interviewing Stokes. And she chastises him about what Uh-oh. Happened on that interview. So let's play that.
You condemn their behavior, you put it down, you tell them it's wrong, you explain why it's wrong, but in terms of healing, which we have not begun in many ways in this town, mm-hmm. you don't start by calling
okay.
them names.
I appreciate your clarification. I also appreciate you not using the word on this program. I was watching Aaron's show last night, and I was livid. I have to say, you're a leader, and I just think, you know, so many people have said, don't say it in rap. Don't say it so loosely. Don't assume you can say it because you're one color if another color can't. It's just so painful to hear it no matter what color we are. And
are you out of your fucking mind? He's a black dude. He can do whatever he wants.
Yeah.
She's going to sit there and be like, don't use it. Go fuck yourself. Well, how can look at
she's
this
like,
face?
Yeah, she's like, I'm a white lady
yeah.
who grew up in the South using it all the time. But you as a black man, I don't feel
well,
comfortable
it,
with
she's
it.
Just doing it so she can get some cheers online where it's like, good for you.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, Twitter's going to love it.
He can
yeah.
say whatever the fuck he wants. You can say it if you want, Ashley Banfield. You're going to get yeah. shit for it, but you can say whatever you want. That one drives me insane because it's like you're going to tell this dude who's a black man not to use the N-word. Oh, it's so painful. Shut up. Is it painful for you to hear, you idiot?
Yeah.
I'm glad you decided not to use it on this show. And I want to move on to some of the...
Yeah, just move on from that. Yeah, okay, yeah, so I want to yeah. play that. That's absurd that she's going to tell this dude not to use it. And she's going to... Like, ridiculous.
Yeah.
Okay, that's taking it to such a crazy degree where it's yeah. like... All right, well, anyway, I don't really have a point about that. That's ridiculous. And then, you know what? I feel like we're kind of running out of time. I just want to play a very quick bit of this mm-hmm. Wolf Blitzer interview with a protest leader.
Yeah.
He's trying to get him to like condemn what's going on, and then we can move on from this.
Okay.
I want to bring in DeRay McKesson. He's a community activist who we first met in Ferguson, Missouri. He's now in Baltimore as part of a peaceful protest. DeRay, thanks very much for joining us. What's your plan today? What's your mission in Baltimore?
You know,
knock
we're here
shot.
Supporting protesters on the ground and continuing the movement. You know, there's been a lot of positive demonstrations over the past couple months here in Baltimore and across the country because the police have continued to kill people. I mean, tonight will be another night where people come out into the streets to confront a system that is corrupt.
But okay. you want peaceful protest, right?
Yes, for sure. Yep. And remember, the people that have
been... Now, when he was asked, do you want peaceful protest, what did he say?
For sure.
Yes, for sure.
Yes. Okay. Well, he paused for a second.
But he said yes.
Violence sure. since August have been the police. We think about the 300 people that have been killed this year alone. Like, that is violence. There's been property damage here that's been really unfortunate over the past couple for a day or so here. But remember, there have been many days of peaceful protest here in Baltimore City and in places all around the country.
But at least 15 police officers have been hurt, 200 arrests, 144...
15 police officers have been hurt because that's their fucking job. When shit hits the fan, that's their job.
Yeah.
They signed up for that job and they risk that.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate, but they risk that. Nobody was killed. They risk getting injured as a police officer. And that's why they get to retire at 45 with like a $100,000 pension.
Well,
that's
no. Have you ever seen... Were you ever a The Wire guy?
No, I haven't watched The Wire.
Okay. There's two older alcoholic cops on the show. And one of them is telling his buddy, he's like, look, man, just like get punched by one of them or fall down the stair by a criminal or fall down the stairs, and they're going to give you X amount of money, right, and you basically get to retire.
Right.
And so one of them ends up like taking a punch in the face by you don't
yeah,
watch
whatever,
the show.
Don't get into the whole thing.
But yeah, it is.
Well, right.
It's great. And
right.
Yeah.
That's,
and that's
the risk.
The outlook they have.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, why would I risk my life when I can just fucking take one punch in the face and basically retire?
Right. But aside from that, you know, if you're going to do a dangerous thing, something dangerous might happen to you. That's the problem. Okay. Yeah.
Vehicle fires, these are statistics. Local police have put out 15 structure fires. There's no excuse for that kind of violence, right?
Like, what, Wolf Blitzer? You fucking belabor the point, know-nothing idiot?
Yeah, and there's no excuse for the 7 people that the Baltimore City Police Department has killed in the past year either, right?
Right. I love that.
We're not making comparisons.
No, you are making comparisons, dipshit, because you're talking about a thing where a black dude got killed in police custody and there's protests and riots in reaction to that. And you're like, but do you think that those cops' cars should have been hurt?
Obviously, we don't want anybody hurt, but I just want
to... I'd like to see you get hurt, Wolf Blitzer.
There should be peaceful protests, not violent protests, in the tradition of Dr. Martin Luther King.
Oh, see? And there you go.
See,
he's going to throw King
but
into the face of a
Malcolm.
Black man, right? Mm-hmm. And he's going to go... Right? Like, you're supposed to be like King, right? One of the good ones, right?
Oh, plus then he answers back.
Well, he does answer back, but right. But no, it doesn't matter. Nobody wants to mention Malcolm X, who was there and was part of history. But let's literally whitewash history, right? It's a, yeah, this guy, sure. And he's going to throw King in his face and be like, you have to be like Martin Luther King. Why don't you be like King, Wolf Blitzer? Yeah. Where are you out there giving speeches, you piece of shit?
I hate
these people, because what are they doing?
Well, I hate Wolf Blitzer.
Yes.
Like, big time.
Yeah, me too. But, he's a douche.
Yeah,
there should be peaceful protests, and I don't have to condone it to understand it, right? That the pain that people right. feel is real, and you are making a comparison. You are suggesting this idea that broken windows are worse than broken spines, right? And what we know to be true is that the police are killing people everywhere. They're killing people here. 6 police officers were involved in the killing of Freddie Gray, and we're looking for justice there. And that's real, right? That, like, the violence that the police have been inflicting on communities of color has been sustained and deep.
But you agree, I assume, with President Obama, who just said a few moments ago, there's no excuse for the violence that erupted yesterday. There's no excuse for the stealing, no excuse for the arson. You agree with the president.
Why wouldn't you address what the guy you're interviewing just said? He just made points about broken windows are not comparable to broken spines, ignores that, and he's like, the black president said it, and you're black, so you two should have to agree.
Do you not?
Like, what are you doing?
Do you not notice that a lot on a news show?
No, of course.
Where they ask a question.
Yeah, they just disregard
and
they don't care.
And
not pay attention.
Just says whatever he wants to say,
no.
And then they just ignore it. He's never like, oh, you didn't answer my question. He's just like, oh, blah, blah, blah,
right.
My talking point.
Well, and why would you want to go down that road when you have 19 hours of coverage to fill? Why would you not follow the guest and see what he has to say? No, I'm sticking to this narrative.
He's got an agenda.
Narrative.
Yeah.
CBS. Remember the ratio, 86 to 90, you know.
Yeah.
What I agree with is that I advocate people to peacefully protest. I also know that pain manifests in different ways.
Right.
Again, I don't have to condone it to understand it. People are grieving and people are mourning. And I would advocate personally for people to do it in ways that you are calling peacefully. But again, I also know that Freddie Gray will never be back and that those windows will be.
And the president also said, President Obama, he said the violence, he said distracted from the peaceful protests and distracted from the mourning.
It's so annoying. You know what? They're a distraction if you in the media, Wolf Blitzer, and people like you are only going to talk about them instead of what happened and the peaceful protests. He's in a split screen right now. If you're watching the clip, Wolf Blitzer is in a split screen with people peacefully protesting.
Yeah.
You are the distraction, you old fucknut. Old fucknut. I feel like I've had better ones than that.
It's okay.
That the family of Freddie Gray was seeking yesterday. Your reaction to that?
You know, distracted from progress is when city officials get on TV and call black people in pain thugs, right? That's a distraction.
Hmm.
So, you know, I think that the unrest, the uprising, whatever you call it, is again a cry for justice here and a cry for justice across the country because the police continue to terrorize people. And again, the terrorizing is actually deadly. Broken windows are not broken spines. People are in pain. So I think that the president, I hope that he understands the conditions that created the unrest and that continued the unrest, not only here in Baltimore, but across the country, because Freddie Gray will never see another day, and neither will Tamir or Ayanna or Mike Brown.
DeRay McKesson is a community organizer.
All right, and that's basically the end of the video. That guy did a great job not getting annoyed, because I'd be like, are you kidding me, Wolf Blitz? Are you out of your fucking mind?
No, he handled it fantastically well.
Say that they shouldn't be violent. Shut up, Wolf Blitz. I hope somebody goes over there and throws a tire iron at his forehead. That's what I hope. Maybe we should call the episode that. Tire iron thrown at Wolf Blitz's forehead. You didn't write down any titles.
No, I did not.
You're worthless. All right, so that's basically it. That's the whole story. We'll get to the John Jones thing next week. That's fine. How do you guys feel about that? Good? You think we got into it enough? I just felt like we had to get into it to that extent. Get all the information, know what's going on. Mm-hmm. We gave you a little bit of, media criticism at the end, but I think it's important, and obviously we're going to stay on top of it. So, but just know that. I think it's important, those rumors and lies that are out there.
Yeah, not true.
They're not true, so just know that.
Yeah. And the magical fourth stop, that couldn't tell anything.
Right, we know nothing. Literally is we know nothing.
We know nothing.
Yeah. Check it out. Sam Morrill.
But again, just... A lot of the things we say on here are genuine opinions, but it also is satirical in nature.
Sometimes.
And we try to be funny, and I know that doesn't translate.
Sometimes it doesn't.
90% of the time, but we are here to have fun. We love all of our listeners, men, women, transgender, whatever the hell you are. If you're an alien, that'd be cool, too.
That'd be awesome. That would be so cool.
If you're an alien, by the way, call in and get on the show. Anyway, so I think it's been a great episode, and I'll throw it back to you to close this out.
Thanks, Bubba. I do want to say, my man, I can't remember his name, but the guy who was like, you guys want to be on Fox? I can't share this. And we obviously talked about that last week, and he commented this week. He was like, I was laughing so hard at your comment, like already shared it with friends, like love it. He's from Chicago.
Oh, nice.
Thank you, sir. We appreciate you listening. We appreciate you sharing it. Everybody else, we appreciate you listening and we appreciate you sharing it. Subscribe. Go to soundcloud.com/mandatorySamson. Subscribe to the podcast. People are doing that. We love it. We love doing the show, and we appreciate that people are listening to it. Email us, mandatorySamson@gmail.com. You might even end up on the program. We might talk about what you have to say. You can get in touch with us on Twitter. I love interacting with people on Twitter. It's a lot of fun. I'm at @mansamp. He is at @joey from Jersey. Jersey with a Z. The guy across from me with the beautiful Tuesdays with Stories t-shirt is at @A_Lozzi. L-O-Z-Z-I.
Yeah. And can I add one more?
Please
thing?
Do.
Yeah. My Twitter followers have been going up like crazy lately. I've been getting a lot of interactions about the shows. And it's awesome. I love answering. I know I don't get... Chris is very good about the SoundCloud comments. He gets on them kind of right away. I try to do that too. But I've been loving the tweets I've been getting, and I will respond to those very quickly. So thanks so much, guys, for the support. I love talking to you.
Absolutely. Joey, I think you feel the same way, right?
Yeah,
you get
absolutely.
Some tweets and things. People are involved. So follow Joey. Throw him a bone. The kid loves when you're talking to him, and he likes when you defend him on the show. It's fun.
I love it when you defend me on the show. Thank you.
Megan from Canada, we love you. Thank you for writing in. Happy birthday. We're going to close the show with a J. Cole song of Andrew's choosing. I also want to remind you, if you guys are interested, go check out Jolie's project. Let me give the link one more time. It's crowdrise.com/scarlet_Baltimore. You can go check it out and see what that's all about.
One question. Does it have to be from 2014 Forest Hills Drive, the J. Cole song?
She requested that.
Okay.
So
totally fine.
I think we're going to go with that. Yeah. Okay. So thank you, everybody, for listening. We really appreciate it. Questions, comments, compliments, concerns, whatever you got, send them our way. We gave you how to reach us. So thank you very much. We will talk to you all next Thursday. Have a great week.
Since a young and now we dreamin' getting rich. Look at me, my nigga, fantasize about a white picket fence. It's the trees, my nigga, used to want a pathfinder with some tents. That's all I need, my nigga, throw some 20s on that bitch and get it rinsed. But now I see, my nigga, that the world's a lot bigger ever since. Picked up the paper and they say my nigga Eddie caught a body, I'm convinced. Anybody is a killer, all you gotta do is push him to the limps. Fuck being timid in the civic, politicking with the pushers and the pimps. I'm trying to write a story, can I get a glimpse? And can I get a glimpse? Last night I had a bad dream. That I was trapped in the city, then I asked, is that really such a bad thing? They robbing niggas on the daily, can you blame a nigga that ain't ever had things? Guess not. Last night, they put up on my nigga at the light like, nice watch, run it. Hands in the air now, hands in the air, run it. Hands in the air now, hands in the air, run it. Hands in the air now, hands in the air, hands in the air now, hands in the air. Small town nigga, Hollywood dreams. I know that everything that glitters ain't gold. I know the shit ain't always good as it seems. But tell me till you get it, how could you know? How could you know? How could you know? Listen up, I'm about to go and get rich. Fuck with me, my nigga. We gon' suck around the villain, hit a lick. Some tree, my nigga, and some powder, bag it up and make a flip. You gon' see, my nigga, one day we gon' graduate and cop a brick. And that's the key, my nigga, listen up, I'm about to go and get rich. Stand back and watch if you want to, nigga. Me, I want my pockets fatter, better, bitch. Tired of seeing niggas flaunt, I wanna flaunt too, nigga. Watch for rollers in the fucking Crown Vic. Trying like a nigga up, that's what they won't do, nigga. Wanna know a funny thing about this shit? Even if you let them kill your dream, it'll haunt you, nigga, haunt you. Last night I had a bad dream. That I was trapped in the city, then I asked, is that really such a bad thing? I look around like, do you wanna be another nigga that ain't never had things? Guess not. Last night, we put up on a nigga at the light like, nice watch, run it. Hands in the air, now, hands in the air, run it. Hands in the air. Now, hands in the air, run it. Hands in the air, now, hands in the air. Hands in the air,
forgive me for my childish ways. I look outside and all the clouds are gray. I need your hands to take me miles away. Your wish is my command, my command, my command. But before you go, I've got to warn you now. Whatever goes up, surely must come down. You'll get your peace, but no peace won't be found. So I just take me, man, take me, man, take me, man. Your wish is my command, my command, my command.